And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. So, Dave, Trump is claiming a mandate, historic mandate, biggest mandate in the history of American elections.
Of course.
But unfortunately, the statisticians are saying that not only is it not a mandate, it's one of the closest elections in American elections. And as usual, he didn't get the majority. Yeah. So what do you make of all this?
Well, again, it's the attempt to create a perception. And by creating a perception, making that perception reality. It's not the first time we've heard this. We've heard from the Republicans. Remember way back in 2020 election when Bush, you know, was declared president by basically the Supreme Court, and everybody said, "Well, he doesn't have a mandate." He went in there like, "I'm the president. And I'm like, I have a full mandate, and I'm going to do things my way." And that's the same thing that Trump is doing. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter.
He's got the power, right? He has the power.
He's the president-elect, and he's actually acting right now like he is the president.
Well, yeah, it strikes me Biden's helping him because Biden disappeared.
Yeah, just going to say that. You didn't hear anything about... you don't hear anything about Biden, or hardly. He was at a bunch of meetings, and they hardly got covered. He was in Europe, and it was like an afterthought as to what he's doing, because everybody knows that at this point he's lame duck, and Trump is going to reverse almost everything that he has done.
I think that in any case, was the hallmark of his presidency. He may have been a perfectly good legislator. He may even have been a good administrator. But he was not a leader. He did not know and didn't try to rally the American people. And if he had a lot of achievements, he did nothing to popularize them.
Yeah, part of that, I think, is inherent in his... way of approaching things, but on the other hand, it's also I think part of his team. I mean, they should have figured out how to do this. Communication is very, very important. However, again, you know, the team probably reflected the leader, and that wasn't their way. Their way was, we're going to hunker down, we're going to do things, we've got a lot to do, and we'll get credit for it, and it'll be work out fine. And that's not the way things seem to work anymore.
I'm not sure they ever worked that way. The one who makes noise gets the credit. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's a big failing.
Yes.
So,
and that's not even really being talked about right now, because things are in such flux, particularly among the Democrats, and who seem to, be adding to the problem by not really taking the bull by the horns and going on the attack. They should be going after these folks. Trump has had two setbacks in the last week. One was when Rick Scott failed to become the majority leader in the Senate going forward, and the other was in the Matt Gaetz debacle.
Rick Scott, of course, just missed going to jail for a long time, when he ran the largest health management company in the country at that time, he was the CEO, that company was convicted. In fact, they pled guilty, I think, of the largest Medicaid fraud in the history of the country to that moment. And not a small fraud, a gigantic, hundreds of millions of dollars of fraud, which he presided over. But he is not only escaped personal complicity, he became a senator. And now they want to make him, Trump wants to make him the head of the Senate. If the Democrats couldn't jump on that, and didn't bother to jump on that, those people shouldn't be leading the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, but there's another difference, okay? In years gone by, anybody who was associated with that kind of a fraud wouldn't even have thought of running for office.
Right.
And their party wouldn't have supported them for office.
Right.
But right. We now live in an age of where personal, I don't know, peccadilloes.
Peccadillo is not the word. If you haven't committed a crime, a felony, something that should put you in jail for years, you're not eligible to be in the cabinet. That's what this cabinet shows.
Well, we knew that the proposed cabinet was, you know, going to be pretty bad, and it's living down to expectations.
So, what's your theory? Why does he appoint these people?
Well, we know. And we were told that personal loyalty and fealty are the main requirements. And he is a disruptor, but he's a disruptor for a purpose. And the purpose is to destroy anything that can hold him and his cronies accountable. That's the purpose of tearing things down, and also for the purpose of consolidating power. And that's what he wants to do. I mean, that's how he ran his company, which is really a small little company, but he's now been able to outsize it to the federal government. And all with the complicity of the Republican Party.
Now, you've got a cabinet in which the heads of the departments seem, besides fealty, seem to have be pledged, each one, to destroy the functions of the department that she or he has been appointed to head.
Right.
Right? Linda McMahon, the head of education, is on record as opposing the existence of the Department of Education. Gates wanted to destroy the activities of the Department of Justice. The head of the Hegseth of the Defense Department, he feels women should not be in combat, and was in the lead of defending the right of murderers, violators of human rights laws of war. He said they did the right thing. And so it goes on and on. Each one of these people is, aside from not being competent to run a large organization, is opposed to the existence of the organization that they've been appointed to lead. Like, that can't just be an accident.
Yeah, well, it's either that or they want to just have enough of that organization to do what they want, to use it for their purposes. And you know, they're not going to get rid of the Defense Department. We know that.
No, first of all, look at if you get rid of the Defense Department, who's going to pony up the money to run the factories that turn out all the munitions that make so much money for the owners of those factories?
Well, if you listen to Elon Musk and Vivek, all of those profiteerings are going to go away.
Yeah, except if they go to Musk. who was the recipient of billions of dollars of contracts.
Yeah, well, he's in the he gets the contracts on the for the other things that he does, not for ammunitions.
No, but he gets it for the spacecraft.
For the spacecraft,
yeah,
and the space communication stuff.
Yeah, but it's the same government. It's the same idea.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
But I mean, you close down the defense plant in the center of Scranton. Stop making those artillery shells that they make in the General Dynamics plant. Lay off all those UAW workers. How's that going to help you? I don't quite see it. So I don't see how they can do that.
Well, they've got other fish to fry as well.
I mean, maybe McCormick has an idea. I don't know what that idea could be.
Well, this is in his, he's into the hedge fund stuff. And he'll figure out some way that what he wants are no taxes on the money he makes and what they do. And he's not going to care about us here in Pennsylvania. I mean, he's going to be commuting back and forth to Connecticut.
Right. He's got a nice house.
Yeah.
Right. But still in all, you do expect that the Trump people will try to do something. I mean, maybe with the immigration raids.
Yeah, well, then you'll get into the private prison.
The private prisons.
Yeah. And Eric Prince stuff. There's a whole bunch of.
But the point is, what does he do? I mean, he's so proud. He turned 2 million people more voted for him, and he claims these 2 million are working class people.
Right.
How does he keep them? If he's going to lay these people, close the plants, how's he going to keep these people?
Well, he's going to distract them with other things.
With what?
Well, I'm getting, we're doing away with the trans rights and LGBTQ rights.
1% of the population, 0.1% of the population may be trans.
Yeah, but I think I sent you a story this week that the perceptions of the people are that those percentages are far greater. I mean, we're talking 20%.
Oh, I know. The perception is that the 20% of the population is trans, and 30% of the population are gay, and 40% of the population is Jewish. It's nonsense. It's all nonsense. But the truth of the matter is, you don't need Jews for anti-Semitism. In fact, the Jews get in the way because the actual example of Jews belies the anti-Semitic propaganda. Better not to have them. Then you can have whatever propaganda you want, right?
Well,
you can say that about black people, gay people, anybody that you want to attack. Better that they shouldn't be there, because then you can attack them better.
Well, yeah. He'll go by other groups prior to him going after the Jews, but eventually it'll get there.
Even if he doesn't want it to get there, his allies will bring it there. But that's true. There's millions in front of the Jewish population. Millions. That's right. But you can't say that there are millions if there's only a few thousand.
Well, but the way that they magnify this stuff by the repetition, it'll all be on Fox News working on a reel,
Yes, I know. But that gets you right back to the Democrats. And Biden's, as a typical example, I don't say he's the leaderist, but as a typical example of not using the bully pulpit and of not seeing that mass politics is critical to electoral politics. If you don't win people over, you can't convince people. If you don't convince people, they won't vote for you. Voting is the last part of the political process, not the first part. Right?
Yes. Yeah, that's...
Well, the Democrats don't do that.
No. And
she didn't do it. Her campaign was based on not doing it. And she lost, 7 million votes?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the question is, who is the leader now to have the communications? That's the thing.
I don't think any of the current crop of leading Democrats, with the possible exception of Pete Buttigieg, is in a position to do it. They don't believe in doing it.
Or they're not very good at it.
If you believe in something, you get good at it, right? You work at it. You become good at it. They don't believe in it. They don't think it's necessary. Public speaking is in nobody's skill set. Nobody says you got to be able to be a. They say, "Oh, Trump is a TV star, so naturally, blah blah blah." Naturally, nothing. He wasn't born a TV star.
No, he learned how to be.
He learned exactly. He learned. Rhetoric is something I went to college and was taught at college. I had to pass a rhetoric class, or I couldn't graduate from college. Nobody teaches rhetoric in college today.
No, that was. I heard rhetoric was one of the classical courses that would be taught from the Middle Ages on.
Well, if you don't have the ability to frame an argument, you can't convince people of anything, not even in a conversation one-to-one.
Yeah. Wasn't Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain the professor of rhetoric?
I have no idea.
At Bowdoin College, I think he was. Yeah, but that's, right. You have to know how to frame it. And I mean, there's so many pros that are in the PR business. And that are Democrats. And they just can't seem to be able to work with Democrats to have the full skill set.
Well, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it.
Yeah. And, things may be, getting worse for the liberal side. We had Elon Musk taking over X and Twitter, or formerly Twitter, and all the disinformation that he was sending out there. These cabinet members, the secretaries, particularly a guy like RFK Jr., are going to be sending out disinformation and misinformation. But they're talking now about Musk buying MSNBC because it's going to be a spinoff in a separate company from Comcast. Which will silence all of those voices, and those are some of the people that were communicating messages to at least the base, or at least part of the base.
Well, that's typical of what Orban did. It's typical of what Putin did, right?
Yeah, but the MSNBC crowd is not the working class crowd.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not. Rachel Maddow may be very good on MSNBC, but that's not the model for going out into the streets.
And you can't, the talk radio, but we also have the media. This election, we had Joe Rogan, for instance, who's got a fairly large audience. But it's a particular type of audience, and it's not the crowd that Kamala Harris appealed to or Joe Biden appeals to. But they weren't even in the game. They weren't even on there where they were trying to have negotiations where Kamala would be on Joe Rogan. But it would have been a 3-hour interview, and it never panned out. So his audience
wouldn't have helped.
Really
it wouldn't have helped. The message that she would have promoted was the message she was promoting. And it was basically a message that I represent the establishment you hate, but I'm promoting love and you should love that.
And joy.
And joy, right. And the fact of the matter is There was a revulsion. Everybody said it. There was a revulsion against what people perceived is the established order. And she represented that order. And she didn't attack it. And she didn't say, we're going to tear it down and change it radically. She said, no. It's doing great. But nobody believed that it's doing great because it didn't improve their lives.
And also, for years, they've been told that it isn't.
That's right.
Isn't great.
That's right. And without being checked, without being challenged, without...
Yes.
So...
And that was part of the thing. The other thing was that they concentrated on, like, we keep getting back to, like, trans rights, which really doesn't affect anybody.
Well, it could affect people if you point out that trans rights are the tip of the spear attacking women's rights. You can make that case. It happens to be true. You can make that case. You can tie it into women's rights.
Yeah. Well, I often tell people when haters got to hate, and it does you no good if they hate someone else beside you because they'll get to you eventually.
Yeah.
And but there's nobody telling them that message. There's nobody saying, well, if they hate gay people or if they hate women, they're not going to bother me.
That's exactly the wrong arguable thing. Exactly. But the Democrats didn't do that. Nobody told them to volunteer to be Democrats. Nobody told them to volunteer to be public leaders, but they did. So they got to do the job.
Well, the other thing is that, and this is true of both parties, but the Democrats are bleeding more people than the Republicans are to independents. And I kept harping, you've heard me for years talk, and more recently in the last year particularly, about the voter registration shift in Pennsylvania from a Democrat to independent and to Republican.
Right. That's
and
right.
There's no effort to try to figure that out, to stem the bleeding, or to let alone to reverse it.
That's exactly right. There's no effort even to discuss it. It went. Everybody knew. Everybody active in the party organizations knew it was happening. Nobody in authority said we got a crisis here. We got to tackle it. They had the money. They had the personnel. It could have been done.
Right. And as a result, we lost a perfectly good senator. Our local senator, Bob Casey.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he conceded, he was only down by, 13,000 or 15,000?
Yeah, but he lost.
But he lost. But, they did an analysis about the undervote, and there was far more than that 15,000 that voted for president that didn't bother to vote for senator.
Precisely.
And let alone the Green Party, which got about, 60,000 or 70,000 votes?
For their senatorial candidate, that's right.
Who nobody knew.
Right.
Yeah. And, that part...
But I tell you what people did know about the Greens, even though they don't ever see a Green candidate, they don't ever see the Green organization, they know that there is a climate crisis and they would like to vote to, say, tackle this crisis. They'd like to do that. If the Democrats had a forthright hammering about the climate crisis, they might have voted for the Democrat instead of the Green. Of course, then they could have said, we have the ability to do something about it, and the Greens don't. But they didn't say a word about it.
No. They got caught up, do you support hacking or don't you fracking or don't you support fracking? And
No, they didn't even get involved in that. The Democrats just said, we support fracking. Fetterman said, I'm a big supporter of fracking.
Right.
And Casey came out and said, I don't oppose fracking. And of course, Josh Shapiro has said the same thing.
Right.
And they're not going to get away with that. That's not going to work. You got to really, the Democrats are going to have to really take a look at what fracking has done, not only to the state, but to the world. Well, look at it another way, not only to the world, but to the state. And it hasn't been good. It hasn't benefited either the world or the state.
Well, we let the Republicans talk about the hundreds of thousands of jobs that it involves or whatever, and we know that number is grossly inflated.
It's a lie. There's 35,000 jobs. I don't poo-poo 35,000 jobs, but there's more people involved in solar panels in Pennsylvania than in fracking.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. I mean, if you want to really count it, that's what it is. But the Democrats don't tell you that. Or didn't tell you that.
No.
So when you say, I don't know what who's the leadership, we don't have the leadership in the Democrats at the moment. Well, they're all compromised.
Yeah. In Pennsylvania, I mean, it's down to Josh Shapiro and John Fetterman, who are not on the same page all the time.
And for all you know, Fetterman is going to be a supporter of Trump's foreign policy.
Could be.
That's right. Don't be shocked.
Shapiro might be part. Is going to be part of that as well.
He might be. That's right. He's already signed up for Jeffrey Yez's attacks on public schools. I'm not sure I understand how the Democrats are going to work their way out of that. If one of the big aims of the MAGA people is to get rid of public schools, and our Democratic governor, the titular head of the party in the state, is in favor of charter schools, how does that work?
He had his $100 million dilemma on his hands.
Yeah.
Because he's going to present his budget come February. We'll find out pretty soon. Last year, he reneged on his promise, and the Republicans were not happy, to say the least. So we'll see what happens this year on that.
Yeah.
We got a ways to go before that happens.
By the way, did Susan Wilde win or did she lose?
She lost. Yeah. The three races in Pennsylvania, Cartwright's, Wilde's, and Scott Perry's, if they had come out differently.
That's the House.
We'd be looking maybe at a different House. But they didn't, so we're faced with the reality we don't have any power.
That's right. And the liberal approach to combating Trump in the courts, that strategy was a spectacular failure. Trump managed to outwit it, outdo it, and bring it down. He's walking scot-free across the board.
Yeah. And that's another thing, particularly with this. But the big thing is, of course, that he controls the Supreme Court, essentially.
And whoever controls the Supreme Court controls the lower courts, right?
Yeah, because the Supreme Court's legislating.
Yeah.
And
turns out they don't call just balls and strikes.
No.
They call the game.
That's it. They called it on that.
Yeah.
So
next week, let's talk about what we might think the Democrats could do, or people could do if they think the Democrats are a vehicle for doing it. How do you make them that vehicle?
Well, we got to, is it up to us to work this out for the Democrats? Maybe. Nobody else seems to be doing it.
The Democratic Party that you know and that I know was the Democratic Party founded by Franklin Roosevelt. The current Democratic Party is a repudiation of that. Roosevelt's party won. The repudiation just gave us Trump. Something's got to give.
Well, we'll have to ruminate over turkey and stuffing, I guess.
Do it. We'll talk next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.